Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Thank you very much for checking out the Country Confidential Podcast. Graham Fleming is coming up. Awesome people playing awesome music is back. Graham playing some music in just a little bit. Now, though, true or false, what do you think? One of the sexiest voices in Canadian country music. I told someone I was chatting with you today, Jade, and they said, wow, close? That guy's voice is so sexy. It is Jade Eagleson.
Well, thanks, man.
How are things?
They're pretty good. We're just planning out this summer. I know there's some driving shows popping up, and you know, hopefully there's some kind of normalcy to turn out this summer, but we'll see. You never know with this whole thing.
Man, I think it's getting better. Like, you know, you're starting to see stuff pop up on your calendar, and it's sort of startling when something pops up on the calendar because we're not used to it, right? It's just, what?
It is, man. Dude, like, I saw, like, the first couple things booked, and I was like, oh, man. Like, I started shivering, and I'm like, I have to, like, go. And it's almost like you first go out on stage for the first time again. It's like, I'm terrified.
I think you're going to do great. I feel it. Yeah, what if you forget the words?
What if I get booed, Mom? Like, you know.
I can see you calling your mom after the show. They still love me. Okay. So you were just mentioning just before we jumped on that you are planning on going to Nashville. When? Like, is that soon?
Yeah, on Sunday. So we have the next single coming out, and we have a surprise for this next one. So I'll tell you in a bit, but it's going to be pretty exciting. And we kind of last minute, we're like, yeah, let's do it. So flying out tomorrow, and then hopefully we get a good like 4-week turnaround out of it. All the players on it, and it's ready to go. And I'll send it to you right away.
Can't wait, man! I can't wait. I gotta ask about traveling to the States. Is it a pain in the ass? I mean, we're all told the border's closed. Obviously, this is essential, though. You need to get down there and do that. But is it a pain in the ass to travel to the States right now?
Oh, absolutely, and it's not so much getting down there. I mean, I totally understand the safety precautions that need to be taken. But, you know, it's like a COVID test, obviously, before you board the plane. And it's like, it's weird how it's set up because it has to be within 3 days. So you have to schedule it kind of like the third day out almost, because if you do it the day before, then, you know, you might not get your results in time. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different variables that, you know, may affect your travel. So it's more so like, I don't know, I'm easily stressed out. So everyone else is probably like, oh, come on, man. Like, this is nothing. But, you know, I panic. I'm not good in the airports. I was a country kid. So it's not.
Everything's still not new. Easy. Your head's like whipping around everywhere, checking out. Make sure you don't like to walk like 2 feet away from your bag. You're just no, man. I'm a country guy.
I look like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh, yeah. I feel like. What's his name? Cam.
Yeah. Oh, man. Is his name. That's a reference right there. That's a good reference, man. I love that movie. It always made me want to stay home from school.
Oh, man. It's so funny because you look at all like the cool tech they had back then, and he's using it all. Yeah. It's like, this guy's kind of a genius.
He's
like,
a lot cooler than I ever was when I was in high school.
Yeah. Oh, me too, man. Trust me.
I remember getting on, like, the first window. Like, DOS, man. DOS was huge. Like, that was the technology I had. You had to type the commands in the computer. Remember that. You're too young for that. But
yeah, I think so.
They say there's a whole bunch of unruly passengers. They're planning for that now. People are going to forget how to fly. I'm interested to see what that's going to be like on planes, because people are just going to forget how to be nice, I guess, or something. They're worried about it.
Quite possible. I could potentially see that. I know everyone that's still traveling, essentially, you know, I think they'll be fine, but just like going for vacation. I know, like, think about packing up the family for like a road trip or a vacation kind of thing. Like, that's stressful, and let alone just getting that figured out. And you add hopping on a plane. That's, yeah.
And also, you have to wear pants for a long period of time. I think that's going to make people cranky just on its own. It's like, I have to wear pants for more than 3 hours.
It's like, I would just go in track pants, but like it's like, I don't know, man. It's, yeah, I'm carrying a cowboy hat and a guitar. It's just a really weird look.
Show up in Nashville, somebody like really important is like at the airport. Who's that guy with track pants? Jade Eagle said, "Oh, I guess we're never gonna sign him."
Yeah, and I also have boots too. Like I only wear cowboy boots, so it's like that. Just it's a strange look. I feel like that's like day three of a music festival walk out of your tent kind of look.
Kind of is. Wow, music festivals. Remember those? Man.
Oh, hardly. It's like the dinosaur age.
Yeah, that's right. It's like graduation prom time for a lot of people. And I know it's weird. It's virtual and all that stuff this year. But does it remind you of, like, what do you remember about your grad and your prom? Were you doing music then and maybe you were busy and you didn't really get to do a lot of that stuff? Or did you get to be sort of a high school kid then?
Well, I found a plot twist, or I found a sneaky way to get out of it without, you know, kind of compromising my music. So I just flunked out of grade 12.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I still was back there or whatever. But I'm telling you, like when I was a kid, I'm still not the smartest guy you'll ever meet. But, you know, back then I was like, you know what makes more sense than getting, just graduating? I was like, maybe I'll just work 40 hours a week. And sure enough,
What were you doing? What was your job in high school?
I was actually, back at that time, I was working in a factory. So, like, I would work till, like, 1 or 2 a.m. or something like that. And then I'd drive back, get a couple hours of sleep, and go to school in the morning. And I was kind of like, you know what? Like, I'm wow. sick of this. I'm done.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I had to. Like, it wasn't like I was put out on the street by my folks. Like I liked money, I guess. So
hey, you know what? That's cool. And you did go back, right? You did get your.
Oh yeah, I went to like this secondary education program after, and I was like a 20-something-year-old hanging out with a bunch of kids. It's like, man, I'd say to the kids, get it now.
You were the cool kid. Yeah, get it now. That's good, right? Don't go work at a factory till 2 a.m. or
yeah.
That's an interesting story, man. I didn't realize that, but that is, it's so cool. And it's such a good story about perseverance too, right? You didn't just go, because you could have easily just been like, no, you know what? I'm still doing good, man. I'm making money. And then I got, you know, whatever, but you still went back and did it. Pretty important for your family. I would imagine too, that you went back and got your diploma.
Yeah. I think that, the funny thing is like back then I thought it was a lot of money, but it wasn't a lot of money to a 17-year-old. It was piles. Dude, but
if I found $5, on my dresser or something that I forgot about back then, that was a lot of, well, still is, but that was a lot of money. I was like, man,
I know. Like I remember like as a kid too, like I'd just be doing hay all summer, and just the worst scenario is you make $80 and then, you know, that's enough to party on the weekend with your friends, and then you just torture yourself the rest of the week doing it again.
That's right.
What am I doing?
That's crazy. How old is your baby now?
He's almost two now.
Almost two. Yeah, that's crazy.
He's so fast. I don't know if you can hear him ripping around upstairs.
No.
He's crazy.
I hope he runs around and makes you tired. That's
he sure does. He's got like this helmet. This is his new thing. He's got a bike helmet. And he has his diaper on and just the helmet. That's it. Like, he doesn't want to wear anything else. And it's like, all right.
Hey.
He eats his breakfast with the helmet, everything.
You do you, man. That's what you got to say. You just, whatever happens. If he's doing it when he's 12, then you step in and go, okay, maybe this is not
I wouldn't even know what to say. Like, hey, listen, guy.
Listen. How did you meet your wife? Is your wife in the music business at all, or the furthest thing from it?
She's like, I mean, she sings in the shower, but she doesn't have a bad voice. I think that, like, if she actually, you know, tried, she'd be good, but I don't think we'll ever see the day. But, you know, we actually met on the music video for Got Your Name on It, and she was, you know, my love interest. And, you know, things just kind of blossomed from there.
That is a crazy story. So yeah, she had to pretend to be your love interest.
And she did.
It happened.
And I thought she was expensive that day. Let me tell you. It only went up from there.
Man, you shouldn't have signed that contract. I'm sure it's great. But like that must be so weird to you know, have that story now where you guys really did meet and she was pretending. Did you know, like that day, was there like, maybe there's a little something, or did it take a little while just to sort of develop that?
I definitely thought she was like really pretty. Like I was like kind of blown away by it actually. And, after that, I kind of, you know, time went on and we started connecting. Cause like I'm extremely shy and awkward and all of the above. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, all the vibe that, you know, the labels and management put out for me are all a lie. I'm very awkward. Like, so it's, mm-hmm. I'm not as badass as it sounds. So it took a while for me to kind of, you know, look cool. Like I honestly, our first date, I didn't even think of it back then. Now I can see how ridiculous this is, but, I literally showed up in my barn clothes. Like I just had my work boots on and my truck still smelled like cow dung. I was like, man, oh man. Oh well, it worked somehow.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, it did, man. That's such a cool story. Listen, I'm glad you mentioned that you're kind of shy and awkward, because I was going to bring this up for a second, but you and I always had a hard time interviewing with you because I don't plan my interviews. And your former team used to like make me write out kind of what I was going to chat with you about. Oh. And I always just put some generic stuff and never stuck to it, but I had to give them something because you were, you know, you are a little shy. And it's funny. I told someone on your new team, well, do I have to write out what I'm talking about with Jade? And they're like, no. And I was like, he's really shy. And they're like, no, he's not. So you've either changed or you're fooling people. And I like both of those scenarios, but you must be getting more comfortable though.
I'm nervous, sweating like crazy. No, but, I was like, I think over time I got better at talking to people. I think when I'm following a guideline of talking points, it terrifies me. Cause I like to talk. I mean, that's what interviews are for, right? I don't understand why they have to be like,
dude,
hit these three strings and, you know, hit the road. So
I used I mean, if anybody ever looked back at the notes that I would send, like it was total like high school all over again, where you just BS your way. Cause I knew if I didn't send this stuff in, I was never going to get to talk to Jade Eagleson. So what do you plan on talking about with Jade? And I was like, I don't know, the weather. And I would just put like the worst BS, and I never looked at it after. So I just put that.
That's amazing.
So what I remember about early Jade Eagleson interviews is just how much BS that I wrote. I should go back and try to find some of those emails, because they're pretty. I know I didn't talk about any of that stuff.
They sent me to Nashville to actually get like professional PR training. And yeah. I remember sitting for like hours in this room, and like you could just tell – the poor woman was just getting so irritated. She's just like, you just know, she's like, this guy's hopeless. Like,
that's hilarious.
I mean, we did have a breakthrough. And eventually I was just like, you know what? It's going to be me on these interviews. And now I'm not scared. Like,
dude, they're so great. And you always were with me. It's funny because they would always tell me, you know, how shy and whatever. And then I get off the phone and go, wow, that guy doesn't need any coaching. I think you just kind of got built up, or they just whatever. But good on you, man. You've really made it a lot better. Interview training must be terrible.
It's not fun.
Juno nomination. Your first one, right?
It's definitely my first one. I'm still, I don't believe it at all. It's like, holy lift.
When they mention your name, like that's like I've been lucky enough, and I know you have as well, to be nominated for CCMAs. And that was what got me the very first nomination for a CCMA, when they mention your name during like the, you know, and the nominees are. I would imagine that's going to hit you still, even though you have had CCMA success. Watching the Junos, and they're going to call your name. You're going to be like, wow, that's me.
It's crazy, because there's like each different organization has its like, it impacts everyone differently, right? Like the CCMA is obviously, you know, cover country. Junos cover like a lot of different media, mm-hmm. and different fan bases. So it's like to be recognized by both in any measure is significantly amazing. Like it's I can't even begin to tell you like how excited I am just to see my name on that list. It's pretty awesome.
The new single is, I just checked before we chatted, it's number 9. So it's in the top 10 right now in the on the building. So you've been so close to number ones, right?
Yeah, I got one, and it was like on the skin of my teeth.
Yeah, I was watching it over the weekend. It was stressful. I was watching it, and you literally won by like, it was almost a tie, I believe. That's how close I loved it.
It was Kane Brown. So yeah. Anytime Screw I see Kane. My name around Kane Brown, I'm like, oh no, that guy.
Well, it's shaping up for a really good run, and this one is has taken a while, and that's good because it means people are hearing it more. As an artist, yeah. though, who has stuff in the can that's ready to put stuff out, is it frustrating when it takes this long? Because as an artist, I'm sure you're glad it's number 9 and it's great, but as that person who wants people to have music, is it like, okay, could you just get on with it?
I mean, not really. I like it being on the radio and getting as much time on there as possible, because it's funny. It's like when you go to a show and the songs that went right up and right down, for me, not too many people know. I mean, there's one time, mm-hmm. What song was it? It was, I think it was Close. Close had a pretty quick life, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly which one, but I turned the mic to the audience. Yeah, it must have been the one before. It must have been Count the Ways. I think it went pretty quick. But I turned the mic to the audience, and like they're like, what? Like they didn't know the words. Like, and it was just really mm-hmm. awkward. It was a while back, but it was still kind of like.
I'm always going to tell this story when we chat, and you've heard it so many times, but my very first introduction to Jade Eagleson, I was just going through tunes. And I heard this song, and I was like, we got to play this song on the radio. Had no idea that you had a label, had no idea that you'd been signed, had no idea about anything. And I was everyone I talked to in the business for like 2 weeks, I just kept saying, who's this Jade Eagleson guy, and why the hell, why isn't everyone playing Got Your Name on it, right? That would have been the first. And then I find out, he's a Universal sign. You didn't discover this guy. And I thought, man, but we literally played you 3 weeks, I think, before I knew who you were. I just knew that was going to be just a fantastic song, and it was. And the voice is just tremendous. So
I appreciate that, man. I always laugh at that too, because like I called my manager and I was like, do you know about this?
Like, I know. It's like,
he's like, yeah, this is hilarious.
I loved it. Cause I really, and I think the way I found out, and again, it's you were just a new artist, and everyone sort of, you know, there was a lot going on and everything's, but I think I was chatting with one of your team members, and I was like, oh man, there's this guy you guys should check out if you're looking for a Canadian artist. I just think he's fantastic. Like, yeah, he signed to us.
Oh no.
But that's sort of how it started with me, and I've never looked back, Jade. You just do some crazy things. I think this one's got a really good shot at number one. So
I appreciate it, man. We'll see. I mean, as long, I'm just blessed to have songs on the radio. To be honest, I mean, I got that number one under my belt. If I were like 5 years ago, looking at myself now, I'd be like, there's no way you're gonna get a song on radio. So I'm happy to just be in the top 10. That's crazy.
And 5 months ago, you wouldn't have got your son a helmet. So look, it's all exactly. It's all things that you learn.
You know, it lives on there a little longer. Some, you know, more royalties come in and all that stuff, and you can get a brand new helmet.
There you go.
Look at it that way.
What are you gonna do? What's the you haven't been to the States in a while, I'm sure. What's the first food you have? First drink you have? What are you looking for?
Hattie B's chicken every time.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good.
There you go. That's what Except I you want.
You got to watch it though, man, because like they sneak the spice in there. Like you might get like a medium and then you'll have a long day in the bathroom.
you give the person at the counter some flack or something, and they're like, oh, you wanted the mild, huh? That's what I would do, actually. I'd be a terrible... if someone gave me hell at the if I worked at a restaurant or in the food industry, it'd be bad because something would get messed up in your order because I couldn't handle it. I'd be just like,
I know, I'd be bad too.
That's why I talk for a living. Jade, I can't wait to find out what your little secret thing is in Nashville. It sounds so badass, and you're like, your little covert operation. I don't know, like, because you know, it's cool. And
this
I'm sure
my brother's in the military, so this is the best I've got. Through missions.
Yeah. You should call him and say, I bet you've never gone to Nashville in a covert operation.
Yeah.
thank you very much, man. And we look forward to hearing what's coming out of Nashville in the next couple of days for sure.
Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate talking to you.
Thanks to Jane Eagleson for doing the podcast. Always great to catch up. Nice to catch up with brand new artists. I love this part of the show. We do awesome people playing awesome music, and we're bringing it back with Graham Fleming, who is joining me from New York City. You're going to get to know a lot more about him. We got to start the chat, though, with this very intriguing story. You're in New York because they wouldn't let you on the plane to come home.
Yeah, so I was in Nashville writing for 2 weeks, and I guess I didn't quite read everything right. I thought that when you landed in Canada, you got the COVID test, but you were supposed to have a COVID test before you get to the flight, so... I was turned down from the flight, but just rerouted to New York.
Did you do a walk of shame out of what? And then you had to get out of line, and
it was more of a run around the airport, looking like a crazy person trying to figure it out. And then I just gave into it.
Hey, Graham, you're making people jealous because you got to be in an airport. Most of us haven't done that in a while. I love New York, though. Are you doing anything while you're there? Because it's open now. Like, I saw Yankee Stadium was packed the other day. Is there Broadway? Is there anything going on?
Yeah, they're definitely working on Broadway. I mean, hey, coming across was a culture shock for sure. I've been living in a small town for the past 2 years, when before that I've been living in big cities. So going from, like, Cowtown to everything just, like, jam-packed, it's been insane.
Mm-hmm. So you're an actor as well. Have you had dreams of playing Broadway? Have you played Broadway?
I have played Broadway. Yeah. In 2017, I made my Broadway debut in the Broadway revival of Miss Saigon.
That is not a bad way to make your debut.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We actually got nominated for Tony Awards too, which is insane. So I got to do, Rockefeller Center, which is, I mean,
that's a dream.
That's been a dream. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you end up flipping from the Broadway stuff to country music? Do you go back and forth still? Like, are you going to keep doing both?
So I actually started in country music. That's where my singing started when I was kind of in grade 12, and it quickly flipped to acting just because an opportunity was there. And that kind of just took off. So I've been riding that wave for the longest time. And then, I was supposed to do a contract a week before the pandemic kind of shut everything down. And I kind of just sat around being like, what am I going to do? And then, I just realized I got to make best with my time. And I started writing music and, got them recorded. And now I'm just kind of going full into this country music scene, which has been a crazy switch and an amazing switch. And I don't know, I think I'll do a little bit of both here and there, but yeah, country's kind of my main focus right now.
Well, I love it. Let's hear some music. This is part where we get to actually get a chance to hear you play a song. What are you playing for us today on the Country Confidential podcast?
Yeah, so this is actually one of my new songs. It's not released yet, but this is my song Better Man.
I said so long to half a bottle of that black label strong. I spent too many hours playing that flat heartbreak song. I've been sinking in this old couch where we used to lie. I've been staring at the pictures on the wall from early July. I've been sitting in self-pity, fading away. I've been talking to myself. It's driving me crazy, yeah, change is gonna come. But until that day, I gotta pick myself up and just find my way, oh yeah. I can be a better man. I don't need love, I do what I've done, but do it as a better man. Oh, you. much you're worth and you try everything you can. In the end it don't work, you're left kicking up the dust and cursing the dirt. Like a ship without a sail, lost out at sea, but divine intervention strikes when you need it. It's always been there, but it's never been free. Yeah, it's taken some time, but now I can see that I could be a better man. I don't need love, I'll do what I've done, but do it as a better man.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.